Welcome to NCC Unplugged, the podcast from Norwin Christian Church, where conversations, community, and culture converge.
Speaking of that, of like street preaching, that just reminded me of, we had this crazy breakthrough for one of our members on our team. Actually, it was a packed out In-N-Out one night. This kid on our team was given a challenge to, what is it? Oh, open air preach before we left Phoenix, because we were in Phoenix for like 2 weeks, but we were leaving Phoenix the next day. So he came over to us and he was like, guys, do you think I should do it? Like, I think I need to do it because, and he also, yes, he also like previously had struggled with like really, really bad anxiety and like really bad social anxiety. And that was something he was working on breaking off. And that's why he was given that challenge. So I believe he stood up on like the bench of the In-N-Out and just like got up there and just said some stuff about the gospel. Like, hey, if there's anyone in here, like, I just want you to know like this. Okay. Mm-hmm. But while he's saying that, the people at In-N-Out had like got the microphone, and they will like call out the burger numbers and stuff like that. But they started calling out a number like that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And we're just like repeatedly yelling it over the mic, over the mic, over the mic. And there's like people start like booing him. It was like the worst possible case scenario I've ever seen in my life. Cause we've seen people open air preach, and usually like you'll get people that aren't interested, but nothing like that. It was the worst possible case scenario. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh no, like this is not happening right now. Like, I feel so bad for him. Like, he's trying to break off this fear. Well, I had the wrong attitude, I realized, because that night I went home, and imagine that, I made a TikTok because someone had taken a video of him. And so I made a TikTok about it and was just like, I have so much respect for him, and posted it. And it ended up blowing up. I think it got like 150,000 views.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So we were just shocked. But why were we shocked? Like, that's just God. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's getting all these comments, all these positive comments, like, keep it up. Like, you're doing such a great job. Like, all this stuff. And his fear of man was just gone.
Yeah.
Gone. And he went on the rest of the tour just ministering to people about how their anxiety can be broken off, and fear of man and fear of situations can just be totally broken off. And it was just, again, like the use of social media, of all things, it was crazy.
Yeah,
it was crazy. And there I am sitting there thinking, oh, this is the worst. And God uses it for the best case scenario.
Yeah,
so that was a crazy story, definitely. Yeah.
So when you're on these college campuses and talking to people, sounds like YWAM already has a presence on campus, like they have a campus ministry?
So, no. So we will partner with anyone on a campus who wants to host us.
Okay.
So say I go to Penn State and I'm not associated with anything. Mm-hmm. And I reach out to Circuit Riders and say, hey, I want to have you guys. We will come. As long as there's one person there who wants us to come that's willing to set things up with us, we will come. So typically we don't work with the campus ministries. We do sometimes, but a lot of the campus ministries didn't necessarily want us there because they thought that we would pull away from what they were doing, which is not our intention at all. Like, our whole goal is to partner with like what God's already doing on that campus and unite people, and we'll point them towards those campus ministries because you know, that's what's really important, is getting people connected there and not leaving orphans. Like, that was a huge goal of ours, was we're not going to go and make more orphans, because we move all around. But yeah, we always would get people connected.
Yeah.
Because that's a problem.
Yeah. And that's part of why I asked the question, is because you guys are there for a little bit and then you leave.
Yes.
So those that just hear this message and respond, you want a follow up somehow.
Right. So we had like a QR code, very Gen Z
Matt
of us.
Yes.
Yeah. So we would have QR codes and forms that, like, if it was someone on the street that we didn't know, we would have them fill out like a QR code, which would instantly get them in touch. We would have someone from Circuit Riders call them. And then we would also typically give them, as long as like typically the student host would approve this, we would give them like the student host numbers that were on that campus or in that area. And that way they could get them connected with either a campus ministry or a church in the area. Or we would just look up, literally Google like churches in the area and just be like, hey, here's maybe a good idea. Check it out. Yeah. So, and just encourage people like go check places out, you know, go join small groups, go see like what you can find.
Right. Well, any other stories from your travels that you'd like to talk about? Maybe something that is an example of what you saw God do in those spaces?
Yes, there's two stories I think of like very specifically. And one was in Colorado. We had our first event in Colorado. I remember we were traveling like 10 hours the day before. I had to drive like the whole way through Wyoming, which was the most boring state I've ever driven through ever. But we were kind of all whooped. I know I was like super sick, and the other kid who was on welcome team with me was so sick. We get to our first event in Colorado. We're waiting on welcome team for people to come in. And this one woman comes in, she's the first person there, and we're trying to like chat it up, you know, and she's not really having it. We're just like, okay, but it's awkward kind of because we wouldn't open the doors until the time to open because the band would still be practicing. So we're just kind of standing there. She's just kind of standing there. We were just doing our best,
awkward,
you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, we had this event. I was laying in the top back with like everyone's coats over me because I was shivering, and I was on ministry team. So I decided, I was like, all right, I'm going to go out and pray for at least one person right now because our team was so small that like we had to just have all hands on deck. So I got up, walked down the stairs to that lady that was the first one there. And I was like, hey, is there any way like I can pray for you? She was like, no. And I was like, all right, that's okay. So at the moment, I was feeling pretty defeated. I was like, this is not going well. So anyways, we have that event. And I know that one of our team members had went up and talked to that lady. She wasn't having it, but that's okay. That happens sometimes.
But she was there.
She was there. Yeah, and she sat in the very back. And like, this is a lecture. Like, they're real steep. So from where we were like preaching at, it's like real steep. She's in the very back corner. But anyways, we leave that event. It's super late. We start driving. It's probably like 1:30 in the morning. Again, that's like the time. And we're driving. We're probably like 45 minutes to an hour in this drive. And we stop at a red light, and there's only two cars on the road. It's our van, and then it's this lady's car. And
what?
Someone looked over and is like, hey, wasn't that lady at our event? And I remember shivering in the backseat. I'm like, they're like, we should roll down the window and like wave to her. I was like, guys, I don't know if we should do
that's
that.
Wild. Yeah.
So I think they did anyways, just because like that's how our squad rolls, is we just want to love everyone. And then she puts on her four ways and pulls over. And we're like, what do we do? Like, should we help her? And then we're like, yeah, of course we should. So we pull over behind her. Her car like broke down right in front of us. Yeah. So we stop and like help her out. I don't know. I was in the back of the van, but I know that like our guys were out there helping her out. It's like an hour goes by. I remember everyone starving. We're searching for snacks in the van. It was just kind of a funny experience, but she gets going. And I remember they came back in and they're like, yeah, we asked if we could pray for her car, and she said no. And I was like, well, like, of course, like, I don't know how many people would be like, yeah, pray for my car if you're not like super, I don't know. So that day moves on. We have an event like an hour away from the last event the next day. And she shows up. And we're like, huh, that's interesting.
Weird,
like,
yeah.
Surprised that she would show up. And then, so we, you know, we talked to her there. And then the next event, 2 days later.
Didn't pray for her there, though.
Yeah. still not wanting prayer.
Right? Yeah. So the next event, she shows up. And then the next event after that, she shows up. And these are all getting progressively farther away from where we just started. So we start asking her to, like, do stuff with us. We're like, yeah, like, come out to eat with us. Like, do mm-hmm. this, do that. Like, let's do it. Like, come with us. And so we start getting close with her, and different people, like, start connecting with her, like, on a deeper level and just, like, talking about it. And it turns out, like, she basically was a pastor's kid, like, grew up with a very rough childhood in a very, very rough adulthood, really. Just had the most, like, tragic things happen to her and continually happening. Mm-hmm. Like, the worst things you can think of. And, you know, it was kind of hard at first to figure out, like, to navigate how to minister to someone who is really genuinely going through tragedies, like, not even, like, they're in the past, you know, they're past, present, and, like, still happening, you know. So that was very hard, but all we knew is, hey, let's just keep her by, like, let's just do everything we can for her. We were praying for her like crazy, and she started, like, allowing us to pray for her, like, right there. But it was kind of funny. Like, she'd be like, yeah, I guess you guys can, you know? And it was kind of, like, all funny between us all. She started coming back to, like, our host homes with us, like, in our host. See, that's another thing that just blew my mind, was the generosity of our host as we would travel. I mean, we would have random people come back with us, and they were feeding them too. And I just thought, holy cow, like, you're hosting all these people, letting us stay here and making us food. That blew my mind. So, like, 4 events go by. We're hanging out with her all the time. And one day, we're sitting there eating, like, M&Ms and popcorn for our dinner after this event.
Healthy
sometimes
meal.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to do what you got to
do.
And one of my tour leader, who's 24, so we were kind of all in the same boat, all super young. She had been, like, really, like, talking to her, like, really, like, trying to get through to her. They came back, and we're all sitting there eating M&Ms, and this woman, who's still there, this point had driven, like, 2.5 hours to be with us. And this was happening every day. Like, she's progressively getting farther away, driving hours, and then hours back after these late events. And we're sitting there, and she's like, yeah, I think I'm ready to do it. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, I think I'm going to get baptized. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, everyone's trying to remain calm, you know? Like,
I have chills.
It was
crazy.
That sounds like the simplest moment, but, like, we all went nuts. I think I actually, like, turned around and, like, announced to the room. I was like, she just gave her life to Jesus. And then, like, everyone, like, randomly in there was like, yeah, it was so fun. It was the best moment ever. So we end up, we're trying to find a place to baptize her. And at this time we were at YWAM Denver using their base. And they're like, yeah, we can baptize her in this, like, river or whatever. And she was like, no way. So we're like, all right.
I believe in Jesus, but not that.
Right. Well, that's a dirty river. We go, we're like, yeah, well, okay, we have a hot tub. Like, we'll baptize you in the hot tub. Hey. She's like, all right. So we go back and drive back to our host home. The hosts were gracious enough to let us use their hot tub. And there's a video of it. It was epic. It's in, like, Colorado Springs, I think. And I remember this was probably the funniest thing that she has ever said. We're friends now. She's amazing. And the hot tub was super hot, and my tour leader was like, you might want to, like, splash some on your face, because, like, when you go under, like, it's gonna be really hot. And she was like, well, hell would be hotter. And I was
oh, that's great.
Oh, it's the funniest thing I've ever heard. And she gets baptized, and there's only, like, 5 of us there, but we're going nuts. Like, we're so excited. It was the best moment ever. We're, like, just send her out with, like, so much prayer. I think she was back the next day. The next morning, she would come to our team meetings now, like, when we would have our meetings before the next things. And this is our last week of tour. And, oh, she ended up coming. She would come to evangelism with us. She came on evangelism with us the next day. And with my tour leader goes out, so they're a pair, and they meet this woman who has almost the same exact story as her. And this lady is telling her, like, all this stuff that's happened to her. And, like, she didn't end up, like, giving her life to Jesus or anything. But for Tori, that's her name, she, that was her confirmation, she said. I remember her looking at us in the van. And she was just like, I asked God for confirmation, and this is it. Wow. And this is it. And that just blew our minds. And our tour theme was the 99 for the one, but not by like label. We just kind of picked up on like, okay, there's not that many people coming to our events all the time. And sometimes like we would choose to do different things. We'd be like, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do today? Like, what do you want us to spend our time on? And then we would do whatever we thought the Lord was saying, and bam, one person gives their life to God. Or we have this huge event, one person gives their life to God. It's like, that's okay, because this is a huge celebration.
Right.
But she came out on evangelism another day, and we're sitting in the car, and we're like, do we go eat, or do we do more evangelism? Like, that sounds kind of silly, like, when you're back in the normal life. Yeah. But we're like, should we eat, or should we do more evangelism? And she turned around and was like, I don't want you guys to ever think that you're not doing enough, because like, you guys saved my life. Like, God saved my life. And she ended up telling us she like planned on taking her life, actually. That was April. Okay. She didn't think that she would make it to March 1st. And the first event that she came to, that she sat in the very back, that was on March 1st. Our event was on March 1st, wow. The first one that she came to. And she was sitting there telling us this, and she goes, yeah, and there's this one lyric in this song that, like, just reminds me of you guys. And she's talking, she goes, yeah, the lyric says, like, I'll leave the 99 to find the one. Mm-hmm. And we almost just fell over and died right there in the van. We were like, this is, because she didn't know that. Mm-hmm. She didn't know that that was our whole entire theme, and that's what we had been talking about this whole entire time. Right. It was insane. And now she's a powerhouse for God. She's powerhousing for God. Awesome. Yeah. She's all over her social media posting about it. It's crazy. She's like a God-loving, God-fearing woman of God. Mm-hmm. So what an inspiration.
For sure. And for you, I mean, to go through those classes and to learn about the Holy Spirit's one thing, but then to see just this happen before your eyes of all the things putting daily, we talked about divine appointments, a changed life. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's a God thing. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I think it gives people encouragement that are listening. Gosh. And I mean, for those that experience, and for her, like you said, in that moment for her to get that confirmation with that one other woman she was able to share in a similar situation, not everything's going to be quote unquote a victory.
Right.
We wouldn't say victory, but not everybody's going to turn their life around like that.
Right. Not everything's going to be a mountaintop experience. Yeah. There's going to be valleys.
God's in those valleys.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah.
And for that to be a confirmation for her shows God was still present in that valley. Maybe when it sounds like God is silent, God is still talking, but maybe we just don't have the ears to hear it. So.
Right.
She said, did you have another story to share? You said you're going to share two.
Yes. I have one more. It will be shorter.
But, no, it's good.
You're good.
I just get so excited when I'm talking about these. I could talk about this all day. It's like my favorite subject ever. Praise God. But so this was actually one of the events that she was at. It was the weirdest event ever. I believe it was like Colorado Boulder. Colorado was crazy.
Boulder's a weird.
Boulder, yes. It was definitely for people that are like feelers. You could tell that they were
something's off.
Yeah, feeling in the spirit there. But also, like, I remember that day, it was beautiful. People were laying out on the lawns of the college, and there's like this huge, beautiful building with like ledges that people were laying on. And me and my friend went up and talked to this girl. Her whole family was in the LDS church. And we talked to her for like an hour and a half. I just remember like sitting on top of this like huge building, just looking out at everyone. And I was like, what is my life?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. But anyways, we had an event that night in this like 200-year-old building. It was super scary, I think. And I remember like no one was showing up. Our team was super kind of tired and we were just like, dang, no one's coming, you know? But I remember like me and some others that weren't doing anything just started going into like crazy prayer. We were just like, Lord, bring people through the doors. Like whoever you want to be here tonight, like we don't care if it's one person, two people, like just bring them in. So we start the event and it's in this little classroom anyways. So it wasn't like we could have fit that many people, but like 15, 20 people came through the door like 15 minutes after we started, all at the same time, like in a single file line. I was like, this is crazy. But anyways, during that time, I had went to use the restroom across the hall and it was like, it was closed, but I had to like go because our event was starting. I had to be at the event. So I like yelled in. I was like, hey, like, do you think I could use the restroom? And there was this like janitor lady in there. And she was like, she's like, yes, like, thank you so much for asking. And I was like, wow, like, she's awfully nice, you know? Like, most people are, like, pretty grouchy at night and doing that. So I remember, like, literally getting just such, like, a Holy Spirit unction of, like, you should talk to her. But I had to go into this event. And, of course, I go back into the event, and I'm sitting there the whole time by the door. I'm like, dang, I should have talked to her. So as the worship's going on, I can hear, like, someone clanging around outside the door. And it's like this old building, so you can hear everything like down the hallways. But it's kind of creepy because it was like all dark in there because the building had closed. And I'm like, all right, well, like after I do ministry time, because there were only like two of us like for ministry, I was like, if she's out there, I'll go out and talk to her. So we do ministry time, whatever. I go back out there and I'm like walking around the halls, like, because I can hear someone clanging around. I'm like, good grief, like, where's she at? So I walked down the hall into this like big room and there she is like cleaning. And I was just like, see, these conversations sound really weird to say now, but like when you're doing it every single day, it's so like, it's so like, whatever, you know, I'm not gonna be in this area tomorrow. So if someone, you know, attacks me or something, you know, like, I mean, that's okay. But anyways, I walked in and I was just like, hey, like, I know this sounds really weird, but I don't know. I said something. Whatever the Holy Spirit led me to say, I said it. And she started telling me about, like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Like, I've been trying to listen to your guys' music, like, listen to your guys' worship as I'm cleaning. So I start talking to her. She starts telling me this story about how she had moved to Colorado. She was from Florida. And moved to Colorado because her son basically got addicted to drugs when they were in Florida and basically went missing, like on his own terms. Like he left and would not talk to her. So she, looking for him, I guess he had FaceTimed her one day and she said, you know, where are you? And he wouldn't tell her, but he mentioned that he was in Colorado. And then when she kept asking, like, where, he hung up the phone. So this mother of this adult child now started applying for jobs in Colorado, right? Okay. So she starts applying for jobs in Colorado, any of them. She only has one accept her. And she was like, oh, yeah, but I knew since that was the only job that accepted me, like, that my son was near, that, that like, he must be near because I know that, like, God's going to help me find him. And I was like, wow, you know, that's some serious faith is to say I'm going to apply for all these jobs in Colorado having no idea where your son is. Mm. So she, it was something like, she had the interview that Monday, but she had to be a resident to like get that job for sure. And so they called her and told her, like, well, you have to be a resident. She's like, I'm going to be a resident. It's like the Friday before. She's like, I'm going to be a resident. Like, just give me a day. So she takes $400, she told me, in cash, and drives her car with nothing else to Colorado, goes to this interview, gets the job, but she's homeless. So she lives out of her car for, I think she said, 4 months. 4 months working this job, just looking for her son. Wow. Looking for her son, who isn't answering her, isn't doing much. Every once in a while would pick up the phone, but wouldn't say where he was.
And all she knows, he's in Colorado.
Yeah, he's in Colorado.
Big state,
and
she, yeah.
And she's
yeah.
like, and I know that God's going to help me find my son, because if he put me here, he's around here. She said, I didn't know if he was an hour away, 2 hours away, 4 hours away, but I knew that he was going to be there. So I guess her son started, like, on your phone, you can drop your location mm-hmm. pin. So he would do that, and she would show up to where the pins were and wait, and he wouldn't show up. So this happened, I think she said, 3 or 4 times. And this is throughout the span of a few months. And he would never show up. So I think it was like on the 4th or 5th time, she goes, waits for like 3 hours, I think she said. And she is about to leave and she sees someone walking. I guess it was in like a park. She can see someone walking in the park. And she doesn't leave. She gets out and it was her son. And she said it was the best day of my life and the worst day of my life, because she said, you know, you could tell that he just wasn't functioning, you know, the way that he should, and just looked not good. But she said, but I found my son. So it was the best day of my life. So they go and they talk for a little in her car, and he actually starts using in her car, and she says, well, I have to get out, you know, like I can't be in here like when you're doing that. And he got mad and got out, didn't talk to her again for months because he was mad. But she kept hope. And all I can think about as this woman's telling me the story is she's working the job right now that God led her to. You know, like it was one of those things when you're talking to people that are in the situation, it's so much different than hearing, you know, this has happened before. I was just mind blown. Like, holy cow, this mom, here she is working this janitorial job, still in this situation. Basically, he goes missing for a few more months. She starts calling the jails around the county because he's not in that park anymore, which I guess is where he was staying. And she finally gets a hold of one that says he's there. And she waits for him to get out of jail, uses her money that she got from this janitorial job and rents them out a room. And this part like really, really broke my heart is, so now she has her son, currently living with her son. She said, I've been calling all the churches in the area to try to get a hold of someone so they can pray for me, so they can pray for us. And right then and there, I was like, no, like, we'll pray for you right now. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to pray for you right now. I said, let me go get my team. And at this point, the building's closing. And also, I'm holding this lady up for work. I mean, this conversation was going on for a while because I'm just trying to listen to what she has to say. And so my team's like carrying all the equipment out, the keyboards and stuff. And I start like yelling down the hallways. I'm like, guys, like, we got to stop. Like, we got to pray for her right now. And so I kind of just brief them really quick. And I bring like 10 people back into the room and we just start praying for her like crazy. And like, it was the most surreal moment ever. I just thought, thank God that you put me in this position.
Yeah.
Like, thank you, Jesus, that like you led me out of here to go back. And it's the 99 for the one, you know, there wasn't that many people at that event. The Lord bless us with 15 more people in the middle, and then says, hey, go out there. You need to talk to someone who was in desperate need of prayer. And like, it just broke my heart that it's like, well, I've been calling people to try to get people to pray for me. It's like that, so many people walking on the street, we would just stop and say, hey, is there anything we can pray for you for? If not, that's okay, but we will pray for you for literally anything, for passing your exams, for doing anything. Like, we'll pray for you because prayer moves mountains.
Right.
That's what it says.
So to wrap things up a little bit, you've even said a few things of like coming back to normal life or being back here is different. And there, I think I've had experiences like that on mission trips, and I know others have. And as my wife has led the last few years to mission trips, I know they've had divine encounters, right? You'll stop the van for someone on the side of the road, which normally you wouldn't do. And just crazy conversations, maybe a different awareness of what God is doing in moments like that. So here we are back in a building, Norman Christian Church. What is your encouragement to those that are here doing quote unquote normal everyday life? When you think of heightening awareness to things that God is doing, having some of those gospel conversations, what, because you don't want to leave all those experiences behind. You want to continue yourself, but how do you give encouragement to others to see God working in those spaces where they normally aren't aware of it?
Yeah. Well, I would just say, one, your normal everyday life is your mission. Mm-hmm. So when I come home from quote unquote missions, like, yeah, that was a separate season of my life, but now I'm equipped to take that wherever I go. So you don't have to be in missions work to spread the gospel. And so if you're in business, you can spread the gospel. If you're in marketing, you can spread the gospel. If you're a teacher, you can spread the gospel. If you are a stay-at-home mom, you can spread the gospel. And that's where I feel like it's so important to see that if you're a Christian, you're qualified to spread the gospel. And sometimes I used to think that that just looked like, I know that sometimes like in your sermons, even you would ask like, well, like, what have you done lately to like share your faith? And in my head, I was always like, well, yeah, I've told a couple of people that I'm a Christian, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that's good. Like representing Jesus's character is so key, mm-hmm. but go out and have gospel conversations, because I've seen all types of people do it. And me and my mom talk about this a lot, because she'll always be like, well, I just don't think I have the personality for that. That is just a lie from the enemy. Like, we all have different personalities, but the Bible calls each and every one of us to preach the gospel. And if you're feeling unequipped, like, of all people, like, let me tell you that you are, like, Jesus says that you are, you know? So I would, like, this sounds so Gen Z of me, but just do a full send. You're never going to be fully, fully prepared to do something that God's called you. Mm-hmm. And that's something that God's called all of us to do. So just bringing that into every aspect of your life. So you don't necessarily have to set aside time for like evangelism, which is great. But if you're at the grocery store, or like you're just out walking, you know, it starts as something as simple as, I would find something I like about someone. Hey, I love your shoes. And then just start talking to them. Hey, are you from around here? Like, and just inviting them. Like, we have church, you know, we have Norman Christian. Like, this is the best place to invite people. I mean, like, even small groups, like, heck, I invited my grandma last night to small group and she came. I was like, awesome. Hey, this is great. Good. Yeah. So I would just say, don't be scared to make Jesus your everyday life. And don't be scared to represent him either. I know that a lot of people, because there is a boundary, you know, and I see this a lot, like my parents are in businesses and in leadership positions where there is a line between, you know, religion and in the workplace. But when you represent Jesus's character, which was so evident throughout this tour, like we didn't have to be great preachers to that girl who sat in the very back. In fact, she told us that she was angry at us the whole entire time because she saw how we were interacting with each other. And by the end, she told us, well, it's because I saw you guys love each other so mm-hmm. much, like as a team and as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what drew me near, cool. you know? So yeah. That's all I have.
No, that's great. I think a lot of times, you know, we'll wear like a Christian t-shirt thinking this is enough. I don't think I've ever had anybody legitimately ask, hey, what does your t-shirt mean?
Right.
And that was my excuse of doing it enough. And often we have to take one more step forward and start interacting and start the conversation. But I like the way that, I mean, what I've heard through this a lot is be yourself, be in tune of what the Spirit is doing in you. You guys did not take the tactic. And I think probably this happened in my generation more of, I'll go on the street corner with a bullhorn and yell at people. And you guys were willing to engage in conversations and take people where they were and not have expectations of you know, them getting their life together before accepting the gospel. And you were willing to get into the dirty, grimy places with them and pray for, you know, the stories that you told and the countless others that I'm sure you prayed with over the month. So thank you so much for coming and sharing with us today your experience and just the things that you went through. And so maybe it's too early to ask this, but what's next for you in life?
What is next for me right now is knee surgery, which is not too exciting.
So finally dealing with that ACL?
Yes, dealing with the ACL. So I'm going to get that fixed and hopefully return to work. And then ultimate goal is to open something that supports missionaries, which might be coming soon. So
Nice. Well, if it does, we'll have you back on for sure to talk about that. So.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, for
Thanks for coming on. Absolutely.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
And what sticks out to me too, what is really cool, like these are stories from one person, from you, all these stories. And there's so many other people out there that are having these same life-changing moments with other people. And it just points to like just what a broken world we have and how people are hurting and needing that genuine connection and just to feel loved. And I mean, what better way than preaching the gospel for sure. So thank you for being brave and taking that step at 3 a.m. to kind of do all that. That was, something I couldn't do. So like I look up to you for that. So pretty awesome. Yeah.
Well, we're excited to see where God continues to work in your life and what's ahead of you for that. So thank you again for joining us. Thank you so much for listening to NCC Plugged. I really appreciate you spending some time to listen.
Unplugged.
Thank you for tuning in to NCC Unplugged. If you've enjoyed listening to our podcast, we encourage you to share this with your friends and family. NCC Unplugged is available on all major podcast platforms. And if you're ever interested in experiencing Norwin Christian Church firsthand, we invite you to join us for our services every Sunday at 8:45 and 10:30 a.m. We have engaging classes available for all ages, ensuring there's something meaningful for everyone in our church community. For more information about NCC or any other inquiries, visit norwinchristianchurch.com.